For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the shift in consumer behaviors and the evolution of technology, small and medium businesses are doing everything they can to keep up. Businesses are either changing their business models to an online one or growing existing marketing efforts with digital marketing strategies. The Marketing Advisor Show each week will talk about how to grow your business through digital marketing. It's time for the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group, Mark Chaplin.
And on with him today is Nathan Cucker, top salesperson with CMG, as well as Jim Hopes, the co-founder of Center for Sales Strategy. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Good to be here.
And I wanted to start with a foundation, really, of marketing, then delve that into digital, as this is our first time up and running. But the four P's of marketing, and for listeners that may not be aware, it's product, price, promotion, and place. Product is going to be, of course, what good or service do you offer? The price is what do you expect to get in return? One of the first things I want to talk about, gentlemen, is what does place and promotion mean? Because for some time it was, do you have that spine ad on the phone book? Do you have that front page of the newspaper? Do you have the back cover of the phone book, depending on how people use it? Right, that was what place and promotion meant for some time, and still, especially now as we go to the grocery store, eye level, depending on the demo, if it's candy at the checkout, look where the candy sits, it's at our hips, but children's eyes, and then look at where the premium products that do the most marketing are in the grocery store, they're at eye level for the people that buy them. So I wanted to see what your thoughts were on for promotion and place. How does that translate to 2020? What does that really mean for advertisers now?
I'll jump in on that. Mark, when you think of place, what I would think is following the consumer journey. That is to say, we need to find out what the consumer is doing in their path to purchase. You know, when they're considering a product, some products have a very short path to purchase, like the candy you mentioned in the grocery store, simply at eye level. If I'm going to remodel my bathroom or buy a new car or a new house, I get much longer ramp up. So, when we think about place, we think about following the consumer journey. So you are talking to them at various points as they're considering a purchase. Hopefully we get on the list. The other thing I would think about in place is these days, place outside of advertising meant that you walked into my store, my place of business, my goods are on display and we did some business. But today with e-commerce channels and other ways to integrate and meet customers outside of the storefront, I think place takes on a new significance.
I agree.
Absolutely. And I have to agree with that, Jim. You know, and you have to think about it, like what the consumer journey was back, you know, even like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where Mark, you were explaining about the newspaper and billboards and other stuff like that. I mean, look at the consumer journey right now. It's not like a straight like path right to that consumer. I mean, the consumers nowadays, they're just overwhelmed with, you know, content. They're overwhelmed with advertising. And really, you know, I have to ask you, Jim, what's the when you hear something, what's the first thing you do when you want to research?
Well, if I want more information, the first thing you do is pick up my phone and Google it, of course, and get more information, right?
Exactly. And that's just like it is. I mean, everyone is just so adept to going online and Googling, so that putting your phone number on a radio ad or a TV commercial, if you're not on that online presence where people are researching, you know, going to, you know, how many websites to look at, okay, is this grill the best grill I could possibly have for my family? If you're not there totally surrounding that consumer with your product or goods or service, you're going to get lost in the mix, because the consumer journey nowadays takes so many turns before the bottom of the funnel, before that person actually makes a decision to go with you.
Right. Yeah, and something that I like to think of pretty consistently, whether it's studying in school, you know, almost 20 years ago at this point, the integrated marketing strategy, going back to the AIDA, right? Attention, interest, decision, action. You definitely have to be creative and grab their attention and gain their interest. But now, right, you have to do it through multiple channels, not only for radio or for TV, but then you have the cord cutter. So you have to figure out how to reach that audience through that screen. And then once you have that attention and interest, right, that's when your search comes into play. And if what people are searching for and they remember your name, but maybe not 100%, if that search is done and you're not there, the intention and the interest that you had initially is unfortunately gone because your competitors are in that place, right? And that delving right into the promotion aspect of it, when they have the intent, when they've made that decision and they want to take action, one of the words that's been really popular end of 19 and still rolling into this year is friction. And the less friction you have for the call to action and people to really make that move and make that purchase, that's really the key. And that goes again to your promotion. How many clicks before they contact you? How many clicks before it's in their cart and it's in their hands, right? So there's a lot, of course, that comes into play with that. And I think one of the things that sticks out for me is, because Nathan, like you said, even 5 years ago, how people are aware. I mean, absolutely. Jim, you said, pull out my phone. I'm going to Google it. In 2013, 6, 7 years ago, there were ads on the right side and on the bottom that mirrored different things. And now there's only 4 spaces, as we well know, and where those ads were on the right side, that's where Google My Business has come in. And that in and of itself has changed not only how consumers literally read left to right on the screen, right, but also how they interact with it. And especially with what we're experiencing right now with COVID-19 and people having to shelter in space and not being as mobile as we would like, our attention to screens has, of course, increased. But when they do that search, from when their attention and interest is gained, if the Google My Business listing isn't in line, or if there's an aberration with, you know, the online world to the real world, all the momentum that you gained at that point, when you don't have those steps together and in conjunction with each other, excuse me, that's where unnecessary friction comes in. And so that's what I think, from a marketing standpoint, you really want to take into consideration of what that experience feels like. And that kind of goes into something I wanted to ask you guys about. We all work in media, and we've all become very familiar with video calls. But I would say, at the same time, so have consumers, just because they want to speak to people and they can't be in person with them, whether they're down the street or across the country. Everyone has become, you know, their own videographer at shelter in place. And I think not only is that what we're experiencing, but I think that's what we're going to have to continue to execute from a messaging standpoint. And I wonder, first off, what have you guys experienced? Like, what's been the greatest achievement, so to speak? And what's been like your, like, oh, I wish that wouldn't have happened that way, or I wish something different would have, you know, would have happened in its place. And what do you sort of envision moving forward from an advertising or marketing standpoint with this new tool?
Talk about using video as a tool?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, we have all these tools to work with, and this is good because it does allow us to mirror that consumer journey. And again, it depends. Let's say, for example, Mark, you're thinking about remodeling your kitchen, and you're going to spend, you have $30,000 in mind, but you know you might be taught to go a little bit higher. So when you start, if you're in Jacksonville, and we're going to Google, you know, kitchen remodelers, best kitchen remodelers in Jacksonville, Florida, a bunch of things are going to come up. If I'm a kitchen remodeler, hopefully I've done my work. I come up in organic search, or I might have paid advertising in there as well. So I'm going to be on the line. So now I know that you're not going to say, well, here's Jim. I think I'll call him and I'll order this before the day's out. That's not the buying process for remodeling the kitchen. So I'm looking to engage you. So you may come to my site, and when you come there, I'd be happy to show you. So I'd have examples of the work that you could look at, and maybe some parameters. And then I might offer you a free piece of content. Like, you know what, Mark, if you're thinking about remodeling your kitchen, here are 5 things you need to consider before you make any decisions. And so I give you that premium content. It's helpful. I got your contact information. But what about video? I also could have a video recorded on there. So say, Mark, let me show you. Here's 2.5 minutes about the process we go through with customers when they're thinking about remodeling the kitchen. And so I can play the video. And then if you are in you're in step two or step three, and eventually you end up signing up for an appointment to have a live conversation, we can do it with video, and it is just as though we're there. I mean, we have so many tools to help the customer along the way in their decision making.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, video, like FaceTime, telemedicine, it really wasn't there yet. You know, like it was something where people would dabble in like FaceTime on your phone. Like I never would FaceTime on my phone. I'd always like pick it up and talk to people. Same way with my parents, my wife, and everyone else. And I would never use telemedicine. I mean, why would I want to do that? I want to go to the doctor and look him eyeball to eyeball. Well, since COVID, now telemedicine is here to stay. I mean, it is absolutely positively going to stay. I mean, hospitals, clinics, physicians, they're all going to be using telemedicine. And as far as video, FaceTime and stuff like that, I mean, I had my niece who had her five-year-old birthday. Well, it was during COVID, so we all did the Zoom meetings and we all sang happy birthday. You know, 30 people got on and sang and FaceTime with my friends on the iPhone and stuff like that. So video and FaceTime it's here. I mean, it just needed that extra push to get here. And to Jim's point too, I'm more inclined to watch a video, a snackable video, you know, give me something 15 seconds, a minute long. I can consume that and understand that more and trust someone more than actually reading about it first. So think about it, like right now, your website is even more so your lobby. You know, you're bringing people into your showroom and your lobby. And if you don't have something that's actually going to like have a virtual visit to it or show what it is, like a piece of furniture, your kitchen, Jim, that you were talking about, you know, showing like what your kitchen could look like, you know, all these things here, this is going to help your business grow a lot, lot more than if it was just something with pictures. Even though pictures are very important, but you know, even if you do like a social campaign with like a 15 second or a 7 second little video explaining it. For instance, I have an orthopedic sports medicine, and he wants to go after the millennials, you know, that, you know, are getting hurt, you know, whether it's the, you know, doing skateboarding, surfing, or whatever. But one of the campaigns that we put together for him was having him be the expert and talk 15 seconds long, 30 seconds long about what are the common illnesses and the common procedures that he's seeing, speak about it, because I can tell him what keywords people are most likely searching for that can help him out. So when people are searching and they see a 30-second video about tearing your Achilles or your PCL or ACL, like they're going to watch this stuff and be more familiar and more comfortable with him. So when they're more likely to make a decision, he's someone that they would go to. So yeah, video absolutely is here to stay, and it's almost going to be a must to do.
Yeah. So Mark, can I add a point to that real quick?
Yeah.
I think video is here to stay. We all got used to it. We've been proposing that the people that we work with use video with their customers for years, and people have been kind of reticent to do it. Now we've broken the ice, we're much more comfortable with it. But you know, I had a conversation with a client on Monday, and he was saying, you know, I love the idea of video conversations, but about 40, maybe 50% of my clients don't want to do it. How do you feel about that? And I said, well, here's how I feel about it. Let's get permission from the person we're going to be speaking with and explain to them why we want to do a video connection. Okay, for example, we might want to do a video connection because you can talk to one of our kitchen designers and they can give you some examples of things they're working on right now, answer your questions. It might be a video version of the chat that's on the website to begin with. But I think we give people a reason why video makes sense. It'll happen more often. And there might be some times that they don't want video. That's okay.
Right, exactly. You know, it's not for everyone.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. Digital marketing provides business owners the best chances for survival, competition, and business growth. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV.
You know, we're speaking in terms of video. This is obviously something that's been around for quite some time, even, you know, pre-internet or pre-wide use of the internet, but like so many other things within marketing and advertising, it's how are we using it? And I think just, and give me your thoughts on my sort of spin or bent on this, but it's not being used as a video or a performance tool as much as it is now a communication tool. Because typically, I mean, think back to 06, 07, you know, YouTube and the smartphone become, right now, how ubiquitous is it? It's insurmountable, right? but that was used one way. Now video is actually two-way. It's yes. become the necessary choice to replace face-to-face communication because we have to. Mm-hmm. But we've all heard the phrase new normal, business as usual for now. I think once we have the option to either drive to that showroom, go to that auto dealership, drive to a doctor's office and sit in a waiting room, do I want to do that right now? Or what if I just scheduled that time and did it over the video? What if I front-loaded my schedule? What if I made it easier on my life with this technology? Because at the end of the day, right, isn't that the point of technology? I think that's something that even though, Jim, like you mentioned, there's a reticence from consumers that will gradually break down. And I think demo to demo, that looks like a different progression and it tells a different story. But I don't think it's any different, honestly, than a consumer product from your early adopters to, you know, the late arrivers. And it's something that, you know, with growth comes complexity and through adversity comes strength. I think both of those idioms and old adages come into play with video and how it's not really an option. It's just the new norm. And I think we all remember a time when people were pretty, protesting the use of a smartphone, but it was like, oh, I'm never going to want to need those. And you would see that person in the grocery store kind of give the side eye to the person that was using it. Now, again, it's acceptable, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at businesses. I mean, heck, Mark, even ours, you know, like, are people going to be willing to go in and see someone face to face, eyeball to eyeball when they open up? You know, whenever they open up, are people going to be more inclined to do that? I would say probably not. I'm going to say they're probably going to be more cautious in that. I mean, even Cox Media Group, I mean, who knows? We might have our meetings online because we're so used to it. You can do it in 15, 20 minutes and get over and done with. So this is changing the way companies do their things too.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I was looking at some research. This comes from MRI Simmons, and it's only a couple weeks old. And so they ask, you know, people about their most likely to identify how they're going to act in the post-COVID-19 environment. So 34% of the people said they were nervous. 66% said they were accepting. And so the 34% that were nervous said they're less likely to go back to their old ways. In fact, 91% said they'd be a lot more cautious in what they do. Of the 66% that said they were accepting of the crisis, there was a caveat. Only 58% of the accepting consumers will go back living the way they did. Hmm. So this pandemic has changed the way we communicate. We've discovered a lot of good things. We can actually get in touch more often. It seems personal. We don't have to meet in the same building. Hmm. You know, we didn't lose that kind of, we might have actually gained some communication and relationship building. And so how do we use this all effectively? You know, when we first got the lockdown here in Tampa, I'm on the mailing list for Marine Max. You're probably familiar with it. They sell boats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice boats. Most of them are over $100,000. Some of them are over $2 or $3 million. And so they said, we know you can't come to the showroom, but you can set an appointment and we'll be here. We will do a virtual walkthrough for the boat and just be the two of you and me, three of us. And so we'll open the doors, look at it together. We'll talk about how you use your boat, all this kind of thing. And so once you get comfortable with it, and decide this is the boat you want, then we'll give you the price, and then you can pull the trigger on it whenever you're ready. Mm. Okay, I talked to a car dealer just a couple of days ago. He's got about 6 or 7 franchises, all major manufacturers you recognize. He said, you know, we're finding out now that when we set an appointment, either they come in to our showroom or they're the only ones around, private appointment, or we do it by video, we're closing about 35% of those were in the past traffic coming in across the showroom floor. We're closing about 18%.
Wow. So they're a lot more inclined, or they're way more inclined to buy something, a much hotter lead.
That's correct. A much more qualified lead. They're much more serious about it. And they're probably farther along in the process. A lot of the work they do in advance online, as you know. And so the private appointment, that's probably going to change the way car dealerships operate, even outside of COVID-19.
Yeah. And I think not only is that going to help the – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nathan.
I was going to say, look at Carvana. I mean, aren't they the ones that, you know, you can buy your car online and it'll be shipped to you? I mean, I wonder what the numbers are for Carvana. You know, that's something that I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know if you guys do either. But I'm wondering how that model is going compared to, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in the future how that model goes.
Yeah, I saw some research here lately, Nate, that shows as a percentage, their business is growing more than any other car-selling enterprise out there. Now, as a percentage, you can start out low. You could have 120% increase and still not big, be a big volume, but they're making a bigger dent in the marketplace, and now they have two competitors that do the same thing, which is an indication that they think the marketplace for that kind of sale is big enough.
Hmm. Yeah, I know one of my professors in school, I majored in advertising, minored in marketing, but they said if you're ever questioning how well a business is going or if you're doing things the right way or if you're successful, look at your competitors. All right, if you have a lot of them, you're doing something right. If you don't have any,
that's right.
Work to get some is basically how it was put.
And, yeah, find another space.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, guys, the fact that their close rate was so high, I would be interested to know how long their sales funnel or their sales process was with those consumers, because at the end of the day, I would assume from their end, it shortened the length of that funnel because of the amount they were able to sort of give as a precursor or front load for that consumer. And again, back to the fact that technology is designed and intended to make things easier for us, people being able to do that on their own time and in their own way, they feel more in control of what that sale is or isn't, but that means they come prepared, which makes it that much easier and sort of streamlined for one, what that video is going to look like, and two, what the next steps are in that. So it's a really unique opportunity.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. With the shift in consumer behaviors and the evolution of technology, small and medium businesses are doing everything they can to keep up. Businesses are either changing their business models to an online one or growing existing marketing efforts with digital marketing strategies. The Marketing Advisor Show each week will talk about how to grow your business through digital marketing. It's time for the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group, Mark Chaplin.
The omni-channel aspect to audio, you know, digital, print, and now with the two-way interactive, do you feel like, and I kind of touched on it a second ago, do you feel like that's something that's going to have a different look as we get out of the COVID-19 and the shelter in place, or do you feel it's just going to be a shift from, like, there's not going to be a lot of need or use for print because people were already on their phones, but now they're on their phones doing research as well as communicating in real time? I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Jeff. So, you know, is the media mix going to change post COVID-19? I mean, perhaps. You take a look at the medium that's been the most impacted has been outdoor, because nobody could be outdoors, mm-hmm. right? We've all been stuck at home. That's going to change as the streets start to open up. You know, again, I think it goes back to the consumer journey, finding the journey, the consumer at various points of the decision-making process. I think it's omni-channel is going to be absolutely critical. I mean, there's no reason to stick with one particular medium exclusively, and because each medium does something different really, really well. For example, radio is like the master at telling stories. All right, I can tell you my story in 60 or 30 seconds, and I can make it very personal. You can learn about me. And, you know, we can get some affection for the business. You know, search does something completely different. You know, display reminds, retargeting, all of these pieces. I think you're still going to see all of that. And print has its place in the mix as well, certainly TV. And so, you know, whether advertisers are going to be moving more toward the bottom of the funnel, that is, where they're close to where the purchase is made, investing more money, that certainly is a temptation. I think this might also be a time when they stop to think about what their strategy is. Because it isn't just about what media you're using. What message? What does your message sound like these days?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you are tone deaf, then you're pretending we're not in some sort of pandemic crisis or an economic interruption, and you come on blasting people, it's going to have a negative effect. And so, you know, you might look at a marketing strategy model. You're probably aware, 5 steps, who's my heaviest consumer of the product, 80-20 rule, 20% that buy 80% of my product. And then what's important to them, the most sought after benefits, and that competitive analysis, positioning and advertising, that most sought after benefits is probably going to be rearranged to some degree as a result of this experience. 34% are nervous and half the people that are accepting are still not going to go back to the way they were doing things. I need to be sensitive to that in my message as well as where I deliver. And so I might reopen my TJ Maxx store, for example, because that's a business highly dependent on the experience in the store itself. There is no online component. Okay, so what I'm going to do, people are waiting to get to TJ Maxx, but are they going to be comfortable doing it? I'm going to have to show them how I clean the store, how my people are wearing masks, how we, you know, take all the clothes that are tried on in the dressing room and we sterilize them before they go back out on the rack. And you can make people feel comfortable. The reason to go to TJ Maxx is still there because this is a venture and new merchandise on the floor every single week. So we need to talk to people wherever we can meet them in the decision-making process. We also need to have the right message so that they feel comfortable enough to walk in or engage.
Yeah, you know, I never quite understood the clients that only kept to one media and that was the only thing that they ever did. Like, you know, they're so set on either doing just strictly TV and no digital or all digital and no radio, or they would have like a mix of things that they would do and then they would have a mix of things that they wouldn't do. And I never really quite understood that because, you know, like the very first thing that we said, like, you know, the funnel, the marketing, the consumer journey, you have to be around them every single time and every single moment that they do things. So radio and TV, you know, they have their moments. You know, that's the one, like Jim, you were saying about the theater of the mind for radio, like that actually gives your brand a voice. You know, that shows, that invites people, that gets people to get more familiar with you. So when you go online and they see your business or brand, whether it's through SEM or through organic, or if they're searching and they see a banner ad or something on a website, they're more inclined to do something. So this all works hand in hand. Like it's not just a ploy for people to media companies to sell you stuff just because they want to sell you something. It actually works. So, and I think that the omnichannel, I think that clients that have been less inclined to do digital and now are doing digital now are definitely seeing a spike. Well, I mean, what's a spike? You know, flat could be a spike too. I mean, that could be good too, considering that the business is down.
Yeah.
But I think that they're getting more used to it, and I think that there might be more of a shift going to digital. But you can't lose that brand image on radio or TV, the stuff that's going to give you that name recognition.
Yeah, and I think where people need help in all of this is having a clear strategy. What is it that's unique about my business or my service or my product that makes people fall in love with it? They want to come back and use it again and again. How do I capture that if that's my long-term positioning? How do I make sure that strategy bleeds into my display ads on digital? How does that, you know, affect my search? Am I doing paid? What am I doing organic? What am I going to do on air? Okay, if I'm on television or radio, it's got to be the same strategic message. It isn't about which medium you buy. It's about what each medium does well that extends your strategy, loyalty to your brand, and then we ask people to buy. That would be the tactics.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's crucial. Like when you go into McDonald's at one place, you know it's going to be the exact same everywhere you go. So why not have your marketing being the same exact way? If they're going to hear it on TV or on radio, and then they go online, you want to have that same message. And I do agree with, you know, I mean, you saw, what was it, today or yesterday, where they were saying JetBlue was the first airline company that's going to have people wear masks when they fly. Okay, every company right now is going to be doing something like that, where it's going to be inviting people into their place safely. And this is how we're doing it, safely. So, I mean, absolutely. I think the omnichannel, I mean, if they're not doing it, they need to be doing it, and they need to be doing it the right way. Like you said, Jim, about the marketing strategy session. I mean, that's find out who exactly your target is and what that target wants, and then just go after that.
Yep. And you know, to the point of the omnichannel, and you go into McDonald's and the scale is absolutely there. A McDonald's that's close to, let's say, an elementary school and a middle school, they're not going to sell as many breakfast items as they are Happy Meals, more than likely. But the one that's close to, let's say, a plumbing service house, or where a couple of maybe there's a factory, there's going to be a lot of coffee and a lot of breakfast stuff there. Both carry the same thing, right? But both have different needs because of their consumer base. And that goes right in line with what you guys were saying, like having that right message in front of the right person at the right time. And then the delivery of it is what's really going to sort of precipitate how that messaging goes. And that makes me kind of think, not even kind of think, but content marketing isn't going anywhere. And more so now than ever, because good content not only matters, but the context or the user intent for that content will matter. And then that specifically, I'm talking about like the zero position and the fact that more than half of all searches result in no clicks, right? Mm-hmm. But if consumers have a question and you're not answering that question, right, then the first part, the majority part of their decision or their buying funnel is kind of eliminated, right? You've created friction, you haven't helped them. And now the from an SEO standpoint, the idea is your content or your blog, the title needs to be the question and you need to have the answer within there. So what that's going to do, especially with the BERT update that's recently in the core update that happened last year with Google, that's going to make it to where you're in line with the expertise, authority, trust kind of guidelines that they've explained to people. Not too different from Mobilegeddon a few years back, but this is how you're going to continue to rank. And the beauty of it is the way companies are going to continue to rank is really beneficial for consumers because they're getting what they need and they're getting what they need faster to help them make those decisions. And I wanted to get your sort of two cents on how you feel about that and what experience you might have or what you'd like to see moving forward as far as content, zero position, and how that affects consumers as well as advertisers.
I love zero click. I think it's personally, I mean, you know, taking yourself out of the marketer and into a consumer role, I love zero click. Like, it's great because you're exactly right, Mark. Like, people want it now. Like, they want that information. They want that content now. And if you're not anywhere to be seen when that person wants something, that you are not even in a consideration, you are an afterthought. So I think zero click, and a little bit more to your point about what Google is doing, people right now are typing in questions like, why does my arm hurt? Or why is my dog coughing in the middle of the night? So there are all these long form questions that people are doing right now. And with the zero click, I mean, I don't know how many times I go to zero click or how many times I type in, I never just type in like best near me. I'm always typing in the problem that I have. And whatever problem or concern or thought process that I have, I'm typing in exactly because I figure it's going to come up in Google. So I don't know how many times I get my answers right away from zero click. And the way people are searching nowadays are completely different than the way they searched last year, 2 years ago. And then let's not even talk about voice, which is getting more and more rapid. But for zero click, I mean, if you're not seriously consider that right now, you are going to be light years behind.
Yeah, it also gets to your point about friction, right? One more piece that reduces the friction. Mm-hmm. I get to find out more about the product, get my question answered. There's no effort required on my part. But you know, that requires good planning and execution when you put these programs together, if you're an advertiser, right? Mm-hmm. So that I can get in front of the right consumer and have the opportunity to give them a zero-click experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And everyone knows it. Like, business owners know it. Like, they just might not be getting, like, the problem is, I mean, that makes my job a lot harder too. And I'm sure with you too, Jim, like, what makes your job a lot harder is there's a lot of people out there that try to sell something to someone just to make a quota or something. And they don't really know exactly what they're talking about. And then it ruins it for everyone else that goes in there that's a real expert and is trying to have like legitimate conversations with somebody about saying, look, this is what's happening right now, and this is actually good for you, and give reasons why. But I guess, like, I just, when I first start off by saying, I put myself in a consumer. That's what I like to do every single time. And I like, when I get in front of a client or a business owner, I like to put them in a consumer role instead of a business owner role. I want to say, look, as you a consumer, I understand you're a business person, but let's talk about something that you bought recently, and then get them going through that journey, and then finally going, you are no different than anyone else that wants to buy a car from you, a kitchen from you, a bike from you, or a motorcycle from you. Like, you are exactly that person.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that I remember learning a while ago, and feel free to you know, chime in or disagree with me here, gentlemen, but advertising should do one of two, if not both, things at its core. It should make you happy, and it should solve a problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes together, sometimes in that order.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. Digital marketing provides business owners the best chances for survival, competition, and business growth. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV.
I wanted to touch on something that that you both alluded to, and it's the extension of position zero or zero click search, but voice interaction, because we've talked about video and how that communication has affected us as humans, right? But voice interaction is only continuing upwards. So that's going to be your Hey Siri search on your iPhone, which is defaulted to Bing, not Google. So they're a player, they're still a silent sleeper in there. Think about literally the tens of millions of iPhones we have. But then, of course, you have your Google Home. And I would say the big name on the block, of course, is Amazon Alexa. And sure, the more information and data that's gathered, the better the results are going to be. And I feel like, and I don't have anything to substantiate it, but I also haven't heard anybody refute it or dispute it, the position zero and the zero click from typing or from searching mm-hmm. is a direct reflection of consumer behavior and interaction with voice. And I wanted to know, as we close out here, what you guys were experiencing or what your thoughts were on voice, and then we'll allude to what we can cover next week for everybody.
I was just going to say, you know, it's interesting. I think what is going to propel this is as our devices and our computers get smarter, artificial intelligence is growing tremendously as computer power grows, and some of these machines teach themselves, right? And so, you know, every Wednesday morning, we've got a museum here north of Tampa that I go to that we essentially have assembled and run. And so we have a meeting there every Wednesday morning. So when I get in my car at Wednesday morning, about 9:15, my phone says, all right, so the trip to the Suncoast Center for Fine Scale Modeling is going to be 36 minutes, right? It knows where I'm going. I didn't say, take me to it, or this is what I do on Wednesdays. It knows what I do. And so as all these devices gather more of this information about our personal behavior, some people will get paranoid about privacy issues. I would get happy because it's talking to me about things that are important to me. It knows where I'm going. It's making it easier. It's giving me a map. It's telling me to reroute because, you know, there's an expressway backup on, you know, exit number 19. So as these things make our lives easier, I think marketers need to think about how they get in that process, so they can be in the conversation, you know, if you were seriously thinking about remodeling your kitchen.
Yeah, and it's funny, Jim, you say that, because it's like people are so afraid that Big Brother is watching you or something like that. Like they're scared to death to get something in their house because they think that, you know, they're listening and stuff like that. Well, if they really wanted to know, they could look at your search history and they can know every single thing about you. So, I mean, people need to get up on that. But I don't think the voice isn't perfected yet, and it's not adapted yet. But if we sit here in 5 years from now, I guarantee you it's going to be different, because, you know, this voice still has to understand slang and how people say something and accents and stuff like that. But I mean, it is very important right now, and it is, and in the phrases to the zero click, I mean, it is. I mean, there's a direct correlation there. And what's great is, like, you know, a company like Cox Media Group, who we are currently working with stuff like that, and our partnerships with Google, we will be at the forefront of this for clients. So, you know, I'm excited when this all comes down. I can't wait to hit the ground running with this, because it is going to be a game changer.
Yeah, you see what all everybody does in our business. Radio and TV stations are working really hard, you know, to be on Alexa. Just to, hey, Alexa, bring up WOKV. Okay. Yep. And so I don't have to think about it. No, Alexa's bringing up OKV right now, so you might hear it in the background. Alexa right next to it. She listens well. But the point is, it's easy then. I don't have to get my radio. Is my radio plugged in? Do I have one in my office? Do I have to tune in? What's the frequency? It's just like, yes, I thought about it, and I said it, and it's there. That is the ultimate way to reduce friction when it comes to making communication and connections between advertisers, marketers, and consumers.
Yeah, and look at the car industry. I mean, right now, like, I don't know what model it is that has it, but it'll eventually be in all cars, and you'll just tell the car what exactly you want, the temperature you want. It'll know. You'll tell it where to go, and it'll have the directions right there. So, you know, that's already here. It's not the future, but it's only going to get more and more improved. And when that happens, my gosh, like, the ease of acquisition for people to do and buy and go places is just going to be insane.
Yeah, it's like you said earlier, Nathan. You said when smartphones first came out, you know, people were like resistant. So I don't need that. I would never use that. Okay, yeah. Once they started using it a couple of times, nobody can imagine living without it now. Seriously, what happened with voice?
Yeah. And I think with almost any consumer product, a technological advancement that's almost irrefutable. It will be just that, but then it will also be built upon and continued. And the first thing I thought of, and I might be dating myself on this, but cars or trucks that didn't have automatic brakes. If you've ever driven one, and you go from a car that does have automatic brakes to one that doesn't, you're concerned, oh my gosh, the brakes aren't even working. And then someone says, no, you got to push harder. And yeah, you are standing on it to get it to do. And you realize, like, this is what it used to be. Oh my gosh, right? And the way we're able to conduct this radio show remotely, given the situation we're in, I mean, that's 100% due to technology. And I think any resistance, it's natural, right? Because anything new can be scary. But I think people are coming around to the ease that they're given through technology. And what that means for advertisers is, with that ease comes complexity to make sure you're in front of them in that message. And that's kind of the name of the game, right? In Madison Avenue.
The other thing, Mark, that's really going to break down people's resistance to some of these changes is what we're going through right now. I mean, this is truly a game changer in terms of behavior. We've never been locked up in our houses for 4 or 6 weeks. We've not been able to go out on the street. Almost every store closed, not been inside of a restaurant. Can't go to your favorite pub or bar and have a drink. You know, Everything is different. You can't go to the movies. All right. Mm-hmm. We watched all the Netflix that we want to watch, et cetera. Our lives have changed. That's changed. Changes what we have done during this lockdown period, but that's also going to filter going forward. And so I think that is going to help people learn, discover how they communicate more effectively via video chats. Telephone usage is up, text is up, all that sort of thing. We're actually communicating more often. We figured out more and efficient ways to do things. So technology resistance will fade away when something really good happens and it gets easier.
Because, I mean, the only thing constant is what? Change. Yep. And that's what we're in right now. I mean, if companies aren't changing or they're not going to adapt to what is going on, what unprecedented event globally is going on right now, if companies aren't going to change and if they're going to just continue to think that they can do the same thing that they've been doing, I mean, all the way up to what, like a couple months ago, it's just not going to happen. Because now there are companies out there that are taking that bull by the horn and they're like, this is my time right now. I'm going to shine. So, yeah, I mean, it's people need to adapt.
You know, I was reading the other day, the practice of shaking hands in society really had its birth about the 5th century AD. And it was originally done so that two people could show each other they didn't have a weapon, you know, up their sleeve.
Okay.
So if you shook hands, you felt another person's hands, there were no weapons attached, it was a sign of good faith. Now, obviously, it's gotten into our society for hundreds and thousands of years. But now, when's the last time you shook somebody's hand? Like, if it isn't staying with you in your house, when's the next time you're going to shake somebody's hand?
Probably by mistake. You know, you'll probably do that the first time you see somebody. You'll be like,
Yeah, force of habit, right?
Force of habit.
You know, they're advising us now they would be happy if we never shook hands again. You know, so these are changes brought about in behavior as a result of major impacts in our lives. So what do we do if we can't shake hands? We have video calls. You know, we do more FaceTime. You know, we get together virtually. So we'll adapt. We're very adapting creatures and very innovative. But there are these things along the way. There's sort of like a whack in the side of the head. You can't just change behavior. Fortunately, the technology is there to help us through it.
Yeah. And then, you know, the mother of invention being necessity, I think we are right in the middle of that. And what this kind of echoes to me as we kind of wind down, I want to thank you both very much for your time today. Be ready so you don't have to get ready. That sometimes can be easier said than done, but we know exactly where we are. We know we still have a little bit of runway ahead of us before we can take off and get out of it. But I would say for advertisers, the things we've discussed today, as well as messaging and amending, are of the utmost, right? And having that content where it needs to be, when it needs to be, for whom it needs to be. If you don't have a clear grasp or outlook for what that is, speak to your professionals. Let people like us know. Thank you again very much for your time, gentlemen. I know it's not always easy on a Saturday, but since we have, you know, a limited scope of options, you know, it was perhaps a little easier. But again, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed this. I look forward to having you on again. And for next week, we're gonna go over some campaigns that were extremely successful. We'll go all the way back even to the 80s. before internet was you know, even a brainchild for consumers, and then from that move it forwards to some things that we've experienced as consumers, but also what we've seen from an advertising standpoint. So again, Nathan, Jim, thank you both very much for your time, and we'll hear from you guys again soon.
You've been listening to the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV with host Mark Chaplin, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group. If you have a question for Mark or would like to be a guest on the show, call Mark Chaplin at 245-8878. That's 245-8878. We hope you'll join us next week on the Marketing Advisor Show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.